Thank you, worship team, for preparing our hearts and using some songs that are going to be helpful for us to think about what Solomon has to say here in this passage. I want to, as I said, conclude this Wisdom for Life sermon series, specifically as it's Father's Day, with talking to the men out there, and I'll tell you why I want to do that in just a minute. Before we do that, I do want to just ask that you would be in prayer for our vacation Bible school that happens this week, Monday through Thursday. We'll have anywhere, usually 50 to 60 kids is what it works out to be on a night, depending, Monday through Thursday here, 6:30 to 8:30 for vacation Bible school. This is an opportunity for us to speak into the lives of our own kids here at Grace, but also an opportunity for us to speak in the lives of some children from our community. It is fun. It's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work, and it takes a lot of people to pull it off. And so if you're not one of those people participating here at the church, I'd invite you to be in prayer for this week as we try and talk to the kids about what it looks like to make Jesus your cornerstone. What does that mean? What does that look like? And try to do that in fun, unique ways. I don't know what I did to somebody at Schuylkill Haven Borough, but there's going to be road work again as we try and do VBS. I am told the bridge is getting worked on, but it's not going to be closed. I'm told they're still going to be able to pass the bridge, so I'm hoping we don't have to do any kind of fancy footwork like last year and getting kids to our church. But the last three times this is the third time now that we've had vacation Bible school, they've decided this is the week to do road work. If you know what I did, I will gladly apologize to whoever at the borough let them know that I'm sorry. So this week is VBS. We'd appreciate your prayers. Also, just wanted to mention that Peg DeWitt, John DeWitt's wife, our Mission Council president, is going to have gallbladder surgery. She's getting her gallbladder out. She had a number of attacks the past couple of weeks, and so they think it best to take that out, and that's going to happen on Wednesday. And so I told Peg we'd make sure we're praying for her. And just those on our ongoing list as well, if you get our email newsletter, if you're a part of our prayer circle where you get text messages or emails or phone calls, those are just ways for us to do something very important, and that's pray for each other. So let's do that now before we begin. God, thank you that we can come together here as brothers and sisters in Christ, as part of your family, and God, that we can just come and spend a little bit of time out of our busy, hectic schedules thinking about you, trying to think some of your thoughts, Lord, trying to hear from you. And God, one of the most powerful things we can do is collectively, as a united body, come to you in prayer. Pray for others, and God, lift them up before your throne and ask that you would be with them. And so, God, I'm thankful for how you were with each one of us this week. And maybe, Lord, we didn't even notice. Forgive us for that, God. Forgive us for not inviting you into our life on a daily basis. Lord, use this Sunday as an important reminder that we ought to be doing that each and every day. Actually, it's the wisest thing we can do, as Solomon says. And Lord, one of the best things we can do for our brothers and sisters is bring them before you. And so we do that for Peg this morning, Lord God, knowing that she's got a surgery coming up on Wednesday, and just pray again that you'd calm her spirit, give her peace, comfort, Lord. Be with John as he tries to do that as well, and God, be with the nurses and doctors who will be caring for her, and the wonderful technology we have to do procedures like this that are not super invasive, but God, we know that you can heal, and so we ask that you would also be a part of that healing process. God, we are thankful, too, for how you are with us in all that we do, the endeavors that we have, and most especially, Lord God, trying to talk to others about your son, Jesus, and what a privilege it is to be able to do that to boys and girls. to have a lot of fun with them at Vacation Bible School and talk to them about something extremely important, and that's a relationship with you. And so I pray for our week of VBS. I pray for the traffic challenges that we're going to have, Lord. Pray that that would not be an obstacle to getting children here to Grace Church to hear about you, Lord. I pray for those who are helping and participating that it would all go well, we would all be safe, and we'd have another great, enjoyable time together at Grace Church, serving you and serving our community through Vacation Bible School. So we just lift that time to you, Lord. I do want to also pray for David, who is on his way to Pennsylvania to join us here in the Skook and be a part of ministry. And so, God, we pray for safety as he travels and just pray for him to get adjusted and transitioned, Lord. And we look forward to welcoming him and Sammy next week. And, Lord, just look forward to what you're doing in his life and how you're going to do that through him here at Grace Church. And so, God, as we just open your word this morning once more in Proverbs, I pray that we would hear from you, not from me, but that it would be you speaking to us, Lord, and you would challenge us and you would move us to engage in the battle that's around us and to live in a way that shows that we are wise people. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Lord, may we live that way. Be with us now as we read from your word. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said, I want to kind of conclude this time, Wisdom for Life, and I've entitled it A Call to Arms. It's for everybody, but I'm specifically on this Father's Day going to be directing some things at men. I've been thinking about this since last Father's Day, where I preached a message and shared a song with you from Everclear, a band from the 90s, I think. I can't remember. And in that song, he talked about his father gave him a name, and that was it. That being a father is more than just giving somebody a last name. And he sang about that and basically said, I'm not going to do that to my kids. And since then, there's just been a lot stirring within my heart. I was talking about this in Judges and our need for heroes and what that meant and what that looks like. And so this morning, I do want to, as we close, give some action steps for us as Grace Church. I want to be a part of something to engage in this battle. And so this call to arms is not for you to go into your gun cabinet or safe, because in Schuylkill County, I need to specify what arms I'm calling us to. It's not time to go and get those arms out yet. Okay, so you can just keep them there. This is a call to arms of what Solomon is saying to us. This is a call for us to be more intentional about engaging in the battle that I believe we are currently losing in our culture. And the way I want to do that this morning is use Solomon's words. Who turned the air conditioning on? Hopefully we sing the right song at the end, everybody. These are all messed up now. You guys will have to figure that out. The way Solomon's going to do that is talking about wisdom. And I want to use an analogy here to help us think through that and what Solomon is actually getting at with wisdom. But before I do that, I just want to kind of emphasize this call to arms. In recent months, you've watched the news. I've talked about here in church of the invasion that Russia has made into the country of Ukraine, a once free sovereign nation that has been invaded by Russia. And they literally had a call to arms. Every able-bodied male from 18 to 60 could not leave the country, but needed to form. If you were not in the armed forces, you were not active duty military, they created territorial forces. Your town, your county, your city created its own force. Because when invaders come and all that stands between your family and your homeland and them is you, you are called to arms. And that's what happened literally in the country of Ukraine only a few months ago. I'm saying that we need to think that way, not with literal arms, but there is a call to arms, a call to be fully engaged in what it looks like to instill wisdom in our kids and young people. Now, I'm not just talking, and if you're like, well, I don't have kids, I'm not parenting right now, doesn't matter. You're still called to arms. If you've parented and you're done doing that, doesn't matter. You're still called to arms. This is a battle that involves every single one of us. And I'm not just talking about young people who are 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. Yes, I believe that's important. I'm talking about the 20-somethings, the 30-somethings, the other men in our culture that still need somebody to invest in them. Somebody to help them live out what Solomon is saying, because it is essential to life. Now, the way I want us to think about wisdom, because wisdom is nothing if it's not put into practice, is probably something all of us can identify with, and that's riding a bike. Maybe you taught somebody how to ride bike. You probably learned how to ride bike. And so you can kind of identify with what I'm about to say here. Now, it wasn't that long ago that I was teaching Leah how to ride bike. I know there were pictures of us doing that. And the wonderful thing about these phones is you got a million pictures all saved on the cloud, and you can't find them. I don't know how long I searched to find, and I couldn't find it. And I thought, well, this guy looks nice, and no, he looks like a nice family, so we'll use him. I can't find the picture of me teaching Leah how to ride bike, so this dude is going to have to do. He's going to make our point for us. But when you taught somebody how to ride bike, when you learned how to ride bike, I'm going to guess the way that it happened was not you went to the kitchen table or you sat down in the study and somebody opened a book for you. And the way they taught you how to ride a bike was they read about bikes, maybe the history of bikes, turned the page, you saw some pictures of bikes, turned the page, maybe it told you how a bike works. Now, I'm not saying any of that's bad, but that's probably not how you learned how to ride a bike. And maybe it even taught you about bikes through history, what bikes look like in different parts of the world. And maybe it even taught you, and you sat down and looked at a book that told you about the physics of bikes. What makes the bike move? What keeps you balanced when you're not pedaling anymore? What happens when you turn this way too hard or that way too hard? If you slow down and all the physics of it, you probably didn't learn how to ride a bike that way. And if that's how someone taught you, you probably hated bikes and just said, I'm going to go get a bike and get on it and figure it out for myself. Because bikes are made to be ridden. And when you teach somebody how to ride a bike, the way that it works is you get on the bike and you start doing it. And you learned over time how to ride that bike. And maybe for an amount of time, somebody held the seat for that bike. And maybe you had training wheels, and then the training wheels came off. And however it looked, the way you learned how to ride a bike was by doing it. Wisdom is the same way. We think about wisdom, and we think it's maybe information that we learn. Maybe it's reading it out of the Bible. Maybe it's a book. Maybe it's really a really smart person telling us something. That is not what wisdom is. Solomon says wisdom is about life, because you are faced with lots of choices and lots of voices, and you've got to make some decisions on which path you're going to take. And wisdom is meaningless. It is nothing if it's not this bike that helps you ride. And what Solomon is about to say here is his way of teaching us how to ride bike. And I want to suggest to you that it's God's way of teaching us how to do life also. Because maybe you didn't have kids. Maybe you never taught somebody how to ride a bike. But this thing we call life, God is teaching us about it. And sometimes God's holding the seat and running along with us until we start figuring out some things for ourselves. And sometimes God still has to run beside us because we're still kind of figuring out and we're scared. And I remember teaching Leah how to ride bike, and she was doing it. She was pedaling by herself. She was staying up, but she was still scared. And so I had to run around this parking lot in my flip. I didn't have to wear flip-flops, but I had flip-flops on. And run around in this parking lot, trying to get in shape. She was doing it, but she still needed that comfort. Sometimes God does that for us. But at some point, she's going to ride on her own. And this morning when I used this same analogy for John, or for the early service, John DeWitt came to me and he said, you know, I was so excited to learn how to ride a bike because that meant freedom for me. When you were a kid, back in the old days, you could ride all over town. Nowadays, we don't let our kids out of this parking lot. But in the old days, that bike meant freedom for you. Even as a 10-year-old kid, as a 12-year-old, right, whenever you learned to ride a bike, I could ride my bike down to baseball practice, to swim team, to the pool. I'd be gone all day. That bike was freedom. But guess what? That also meant I was faced with a lot of more choices and paths. Hey, Ted, why don't you go over here? Well, my mom said I'm supposed to be home by X time. Oh, it's not going to take that long. Let's just go do this. That freedom came with something. Responsibility. Wisdom. Discernment. Understanding. That's what wisdom is all about. That is exactly what Solomon is saying. That's what God is seeking to do for us by giving us his word. But if all we do with God's word is read it and it ends there, it's meaningless. It's like sitting down and reading a book about a bike. We still don't know how to ride it. I know a lot more about the bike, but I don't know how to ride one. The beauty of the bike is getting on it and being free and riding all over the place. And Solomon says that's what wisdom is as well. But somebody's got to teach that to others. And my fear is that that's not happening as well as it ought to. My fear is, as Solomon says in different ways throughout the wisdom literature, that we've got a lot of distractions in place of teaching wisdom from little on up. There's still 20-somethings out there, 30-somethings, 40-somethings that could still use somebody speaking into their life. We all need that sometimes. Sometimes we need somebody to grab the back of the seat and just sturdy us a little bit again. Because if we don't have that, we might take a path we don't want to go down. We might fall and wreck. And no one's there to brush us off and get us back on. You know, that's so important when you're learning how to ride a bike. You fall, and if you want to be tough on your kids, you make them ride on pavement. If not, you let them ride in grass. They scrape their knee, and they start crying, and you just have to try and be compassionate, but you know they got to get back on the bike so they don't get scared riding, because you know one day they're going to learn how to do it. And falling is going to be few and far between. That's how we need to think about training our children. That's how we need to think about training our young people. That's how we need to think about God training us for life. And this is how Solomon says it about wisdom in chapter 2 of Proverbs. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight, now he's just said that twice, if you accept my words, verse 3, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, If, then, and only then, will you understand the fear of the Lord. Now, when I say fear of the Lord, think about what I read in Psalm 95, a recognition that God is above all gods, king over every god, maker of heaven and earth, creator of us, rock of our salvation. That's the fear of the Lord. Understanding that, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And we're going to define what knowledge of God is. Because knowledge of God is not a book. Knowledge of God is not sitting down at a table and looking at all the great pictures of bikes and how they work and how they run. If, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord, not me, Solomon, what I'm telling you, Solomon is saying, gives the wisdom. It's coming from the very mouth of God. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. If you want to know how this world works, how human relationships works, then you know about it because God has told us. God holds success in store for the upright, those who choose to follow him in his ways. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. That doesn't mean perfect. You never mess up. You never fall off that bike. He's talking about people who put God first, prioritize him in our life. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right. That whole verse 1 through 8 is leading to this, then you will understand. If we are putting God in that position that he needs to be, if we are seeking after him, if we are accepting his words, if we are searching after him like silver and treasure, then we'll understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. And the whole purpose of that is so that you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. Because you're faced with a lot of them on a daily basis. And now we're faced with millions of them. Lots and lots of messages coming at us like a machine gun, trying to process all of that. And if there's three things that I see missing within our culture today, it's what is right or true, what is just, and what is fair. Where do we learn those things? Because Solomon says, those things are going to help you choose every good path. Those things are essential to human relationships and doing it well. When you put God first, when you seek wisdom, accept my words, turning your ear, applying it to your heart, calling out for insight, crying aloud for understanding, searching for it as for silver or treasure, and you meet up face to face with God, and you become wise by putting the Lord first. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom. And know who God is. Wisdom will enter your heart. Knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you. Understanding will guard you. Read verse 12 through 22, and you'll understand why that's important. Because you are going to be faced with lots of choices and lots of voices. And they're all going to be telling you to turn away from what Solomon, from what God is saying, is the path you should choose. And if you do verse 1 through 8, you're going to be ready with wisdom and understanding to face all of those decisions. And to be prepared to live justly, to live the way that we ought to live, what is right and true and good. Solomon's point here is about character. His point is about instilling it in you, God instilling it in us, that it is always there. We never lose it. So in American English, we have a saying. Well, it's just like riding a bike. If you've not done something for a long time and you've got to do it again. Sometimes people will say, oh, it's just like riding a bike. You'll get it. You know, if there's a task, maybe, you know, you're kind of handy, but you don't do it all the time, and you got to remember how to properly do plumbing or carpentry, woodworking, whatever. And you're like, I've done this before. I haven't done it in a while, and it's just like riding a bike. It'll just come to you intrinsically. It just happens. You know, that's what I said. We have some missionaries coming in July, Tomo and Jessica Abe, who are in France. They're going to come here July 24th. They haven't driven a car in forever, but their license is good in the United States because they have international licenses, and I'm giving them a car that the denomination has. It's just like riding a bike. You'll figure it out. Driving a car is just like riding a bike. Just make sure you're on the right side of the road here in the United States. You'll figure it out. We use that word because riding a bike is like that. I taught Leah, whatever summer it was, I can't remember, it wasn't that long ago, but then fall rolls around, winter rolls around, and you're not on a bike. And it gets warm again, and it's bike weather, and now the question is, we took the training wheels off, she was doing an amazing job last year, is she going to be able to do it? You get on the bike, kind of wobbly at first, and there she is going around the parking lot again. Just like that. It's just like riding a bike. It never leaves you. That's what Solomon is telling us here. That's what wisdom is. It never leaves you. When you need it, you haven't done it for a while, it's just there. You're faced with that path, with that decision, that voice telling you something else. It's just there. It's just like riding a bike. If it all just stays here, oh, that's nice. I read that. Oh, Ted had a nice sermon today. Oh, I listened to that podcast. I watched that show on television. I went to that concert. I went to that seminar. If it all stays there, it's like sitting down and reading a book about a bike and never getting on one. What Solomon is saying here is the most important thing about life is your character. And we all understood that as a culture not that long ago, that everywhere you went, it was all about character development. You played on that sports team. Well, it's about building character. You went to the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. Well, it's about building character. You go to school. It's about building character. You go to church. We're trying to build character because we knew if they had good character, it would serve them well no matter where they go. Whether you're some kind of politician, a janitor at a school, a foreman on a job site, the CEO of a business, what served you well, what served you best in life was character. And it's conditional. If, Solomon says, if you accept my words, if you call out for insight, if you look for it as silver, if, and only if, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We have to be wanting it, pursuing it. This idea of accepting is making it intrinsic to us, internalizing it. If Christianity is all about singing particular songs and reading the Bible, but when I go and ask, how are you at work? Oh man, they are constantly cheating me out of my business. They're constantly doing this. How are you with your friends? How are you with your money and how do you use it? I could ask all kinds of questions. If we don't accept God's words, that's called obedience. It's never going to be internalized. And you're going to be faced with a path or a choice, and you're going to choose wrongly. And God says, I am giving you all that you need. I was holding the seat so you could ride and experience that freedom that is beautiful. But only if you accept my words, internalize this teaching, that it just comes natural. Here's the next path. It's just there. Just like riding a bike, it's just there. That's what it looks like to follow God. It's a quest that's worth pursuing. That's what he's saying. And if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, that is how important getting wisdom is. The most essential thing to life is wisdom, is your character. That's how it's played out. That's you riding the bike. Wisdom played out is you actually riding the bike, is you actually living life, is you at work, is you at home, is you with your friends. Solomon says, it is worth a great deal of your effort and sacrifice to get it. To put yourself in a position where you can absorb what God is saying and put it into practice. That language that Solomon uses for searching for silver is actually talking about mining. And it's not just finding it in its natural state. He's talking about mining it. He's talking about smelting it. He's talking about getting after the precious metal that it is. When you find it, it's not already there. There's some work that has to be done to get all the impurities off of it. That's what he's talking about in terms of pursuing this quest of wisdom. And I don't know how you did it, but I didn't make my daughter learn how to ride bike on her own. And I didn't learn how to ride bike on my own. God's not making you learn life on your own. And there's a lot of people out there who are. There's a lot of people who are trying to figure out how to ride a bike on their own, and they're doing a terrible job, and they're hurting themselves, and they're hurting people around them. But this quest takes a great deal of effort and sacrifice on our part. There's something that I think we've lost sight of a little bit in evangelicalism. It's in our denominational name, as I said, the Evangelical Congregational Church. That's our denomination. The phrase that we use to identify who we are is to know Christ and to make him known. Evangelical is about knowing God, not knowing about God in a book. It's about knowing God in relationship. If, Solomon says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. The most important thing we can give our children, the most important thing we can give to those around us is knowing God. They need to be introduced to their Creator. Understanding about life only happens after allegiance to Jesus. Solomon is saying, verse 1 through 4 is about allegiance to God. That precedes wisdom and understanding. Knowledge of God is a personal intimacy with Him. That picture is like God. God is like that father holding that bike. You're a little wobbly. He's got the bike. He's got the seat. And you're riding along, and then He lets go. But you're still a little scared, and He's running alongside. And one day, He says, you're free to make the choices, to choose the paths on your own. And what we do is we choose what's right and good and just and fair because we know God by personal experience. Not because somebody one day at church talked about this person named God. We are doing a lot of things in our culture that are not benefiting our children, that are not benefiting us. Solomon is saying what you provide in character is the most important thing you can do because what it builds is giving that person the ability to choose what is right, to choose what is good. It is giving that person the ability to live justly, to live a just life, to act fairly in relationships. That's what we're supposed to give our children. That's what God is seeking to give us, because God knows no matter where Ted's life takes him, no matter where Jess's life takes her, no matter where Lily's life takes her, Aaliyah's life takes her, the best thing I can give all of you is what Solomon is saying. Fear of the Lord and knowledge of God, a relationship with him. Because you give them a person those elements, they can go play sports, they can go run a business, they can go on a construction site, they can enter the halls of power, but they're going to be able to choose what is right and just and fair. We live in a culture where that's not happening. And we live in a culture where there are lots of choices and voices, messages that we are being inundated with, young people are being inundated with, and they are choosing the wrong path. Verse, as I said, chapter 2 is actually an entire acrostic. Verse 1 through 22 is the Hebrew alphabet. And so verse 1 through 11 is his own section. Verse 12 through 22 is its own section. The reason verse 1 through 11 is important is because of verse 12 through 22. And if you read that, it's all about people trying to turn us away from the good path. It's all about Ted learning how to ride his bike, go down to baseball practice, and he's supposed to go home. But there's a group saying, "Nah, come with us. It's going to be fun." And Solomon talks about that and addresses that, because the reality is you're not going to escape temptation. You're not going to escape those challenges. What God is giving us is the ability to withstand them. I looked up the, I read this in an article and I looked it up then. There's a company called Nielsen who does all of the TV ratings, how many viewers watched this show, how popular this show was, how many people were watching the Super Bowl. Nielsen does all those statistics. In 2021, they discovered people in the United States of America streamed 183 billion minutes in 2021 alone. That converts to 15 million years worth of content. That's what they're saying. The amount of content would supply 15 million years. That is insane. Now, we use the word, it seems neutral. We use the word distraction. But it's not neutral. The enemy is trying to distract us. And there are lots of things, lots of choices and decisions we can make on a daily basis that's either going to distract us or put us in that place that when we're faced with the decision, the path, wisdom, like riding a bike, is going to come right into play and we're going to know what to do. Are your kids, are your grandkids in those places? We use the word distraction. There's a million things, almost a million, certainly a million years of content you could be streaming on Netflix that you could be doing with your children. Are you putting them in a place where this is essential to life? I think we are distracted, and we are because we are distracted, we are losing the battle. I brought this up 2 weeks ago when we were dealing with the events in the United States of America of young men making very poor decisions and really not knowing what is right and good or just or fair and taking innocent life. We are in trouble. And unless we engage in this battle now, it's only going to get worse. And what I am asking us to do, men here at Grace Church, is to engage in the battle. How about if you never rode a bike or that's not your thing, playing baseball? Or think of whatever it is you love doing. Baseball is not about sitting and reading it in a book. It's about standing behind your son or daughter and helping them swing. Teaching them how to play the game for themselves. That is what life is. That is what wisdom is all about. And that is what this generation from 6 to 26 needs. There are so many choices and voices. There are so many distractions. And they're happening even within our own church. That there's people I don't see for months on end. And I'm saying to myself, what are your kids learning about Jesus? Do you understand we are in a battle? And it's raging around us and we are losing. And so what I'm doing this morning, as God has stirred in my heart, I am burdened for men. Young men, men my age. To begin pursuing this quest of wisdom at all costs. It is more valuable than anything you can do in your life, and it is more valuable of a gift you can give to anyone else. We have got to get engaged. And so I'm asking men of all ages at Grace Church, I asked this morning, I'll ask today, if you have a heart to engage in this battle, text me, call me, say, Ted, hey, I want to talk about what you said on Sunday. I want to be a part of that. The first step of doing that is getting together and talking about it and praying about it and saying, God, what are you calling us to do? When I played soccer, my coach would say, leave everything out on the field. This is the only chance you got. You got one game. Leave it all out there in a field. Don't walk off that field thinking, I could have given just a little bit more. That is what God is calling us to. Leave it all out on the field. There's a culture that desperately needs us engaged in the battle. We are evangelicals. We want people to know God by personal experience and in relationship because we know that when they're on that bike, riding through life, here comes the path. Here comes a choice. It's just there. And whether that path takes them to the halls of power of the United States of America, whether that path takes them to hammering nails on a roof, driving a truck, you name it. They'll know what's right and good and true and just and fair. And we'll have done our job. We'll be able to say to God, I gave it all on that field. Nothing was left. And we ought to have something to show for that. People's lives changed. And I'm specifically talking to men. Men have got to get engaged in this battle. This is a call to arms. This is our moment. We're not going to get it back. Today is that time. If God is stirring in your heart, I encourage you to come talk to me this week. Come talk to me in the weeks ahead as I think through. I can't do this by myself. I need you. I need you guys engaged. Let's pray. God, thank you for being a father who walks with us. A father who, when we need it, holds on to that bike seat and lets us ride, but doesn't let us go for a while and then gives us that freedom. And just like riding a bike, it's just there. Intrinsically, we know that good path, that right choice, that right word that can encourage instead of tear down, that right choice that's not going to lead us further away from you but closer to you, that right decision that's not going to let our family get distracted with the million things we could be doing today, but instilling in our kids the importance of the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. Lord, there is a battle raging around us, and this is our call to arms. It's time for us to engage. It's time for us to be evangelical and to believe that the best thing we can do is introduce people to Jesus and then hold on to that bike seat as we do that and then start to let them ride on their own. That's what discipleship is. It takes investment, sacrifice, energy. God, I pray that you would stir in our hearts. Help us to make a difference in our little square inch of earth that you've given us in this little town, to make a difference in the men's lives at this church, the boys' lives at this church, our friends that we rub shoulders with, the guys that we work with, the people we travel to soccer practice with, baseball, wrestling, swimming, basketball, you name it. This is our call to arms to engage in the battle. It's the most important thing we can do. And what a beautiful thing it is to see them ride on their own. A beautiful thing it is to see them play that baseball game the way it's supposed to be played. A beautiful thing it is to see them live life the way God intends. God, we don't fight this battle alone, but with you. Help us to be engaged. And I pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.